You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I was away in Finland, in Lapland, meeting Santa Claus. What happens before I leave? I get a message from you telling me you have a scoop about potentially Cooper getting sacked. I say, no way, your scoops are always nonsense. I get on the flight, I land on the tarmac, I arrive back and I find out Santa Claus has screwed me over because Cooper has departed. So the Christmas isn't very merry right now, is it, Matt? I hope it will after Bournemouth, but right now I'm a little bit peeved at Santa Claus.
We could write a new film called Christmas Without the Coopers.
Will you get a glass of water? Because at some point in the next 10 minutes, Matt Davies is going to be our guest. So will you please sober up?
Hi everybody, it's Mark here from Albany in Western Australia, wishing you all a very Merry Christmas. And as my Forest Christmas wish, I'd like to see the boys go on a 5-game unbeaten run.
Hello everybody, this is Bruce from the Dallas Turkeys, wanting to wish everybody a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Hope everything's blessed where you're at all across the world. My one wish for Nottingham Forest this year would be for Taiwo Awoniyi to come back early from injury and to score 20 goals. You Reds!
From beautiful Columbus, Ohio, myself and fellow Ohio Turkeys Jacob and Dave would like to wish all Forest fans all over the world a happy holidays and Merry Christmas. We will be watching with our families back at home. However, one wish we have is, as sad as it is to see Stevie go, we still need 3 points this week. You Reds!
I like the ambition of Taiwo coming back early, scoring 20 goals. My God, that would be incredible, but somehow I feel like just winning the Saturday is the most reasonable, Chris.
I don't know. I like Australia's 5-game winning streak. Can you imagine that happened?
Yeah, but okay, what if they were all draws that we started off winning 2-0 in and ended up losing, drawing 2-2 in all of them?
Well, obviously that would be a bad thing. I don't know what you're asking me as if I was going to say that would be a positive. Obviously, that would be... Are you saying that because you're bringing up Luton again?
No, but you'll find this week a lot of people have brought up Luton. A lot of professional pundits have brought up Luton, including Roy Keane, have said Luton Town is where it went wrong for Nottingham Forest. I stand by that, and you'll hear later on in the blame game how I'm going to use Luton Town for my entry this week. But Chris, come on, we've not been together for a while. It's been a good week or so. A whole load of stuff has happened at Nottingham Forest for obvious reasons. It's probably old news by the time me and you are doing this, but let's just say Merry Christmas. Welcome listeners to the Christmas party this week, the office Christmas party at Forest.
Well, it's not really a Merry Christmas though, is it? It's not. I mean, there's silver linings to it, but realistically, we've had a landslide and an avalanche of news over the past 2 or 3 days. And I know you've already mentioned that.
You've seen Christmas with the Coopers, right?
No, I haven't. So it doesn't land with me. But
there's a film called Christmas with the Coopers. This is Christmas without the Coopers, eh? It's not good now. I've explained it 3 times. Go on, Chris. You were in Lapland. That's hilarious in itself. And I love that what I was doing is, for me, the drama was that you normally think you've got the scoop and you were adamant that I was wrong. Adamant. But I had a little cheeky message that morning and you didn't buy it. And I was like, I'm really sorry, but he's gone. And you couldn't take it that I got wind of something big before you.
Well, it's not even that. It's obviously I was upset because, you know, I love Steve Cooper. Now he's gone. And I know everyone's talked
no,
about...
No, we'll get into that. I'm talking about the fact. Did you give a shit that I found that out and then you hated it when I was right? Not only because you lost Cooper, and we'll go into all that. We might not do too much because it's kind of old news already, but the fact that I came in with the news, did you or did you not tell me I was wrong?
Yes, I disliked it. Yes, I don't like it. I don't like the fact that you got the news before me, told me, then I told you you're wrong, then you told me I was right, then I get on a plane, and by the time I land, big news has happened that I'm upset about, and you're right. Yes, I despise it. Okay, there.
Oh, no. Now you've admitted it, there's no conflict, and I feel bad.
You don't feel bad. Give me a break. You don't feel bad at all. You couldn't give a shit. You're delighted that you were right. No, that's probably more important to you than who our next manager is.
I wasn't delighted, mate. I'm. You know what I've come to realise? I feel so sorry for the new manager or anyone who's going to be the new manager, unless they had sort of like David Beckham-esque icon powers. Because have you seen Braveheart?
Have I seen Braveheart? Yes, I've seen the movie Braveheart.
At the end, when Wallace has been hung, drawn and quartered, or as close to in that scene where they kill Mel Gibson, before the final image of the movie and the final credits, they cut the sort of final, another battle with the Scots versus the English lords. And you got that actor playing Robert the Bruce, and they're all trying to, like, get ready to fight. And he sort of stops them charging and turns and looks at them all and goes, "You have bled with Wallace! No bleed with me!" And he's sort of glazing over, and this, all of the Scottish warriors are just staring at him going, "God, we really want to, mate, but..." Don't worry about the chants and the crowd rousing speeches on your horse. Wallace was our guy. Do you know what I mean? I feel like watching Santos in that news interview was like watching the end of Braveheart. He was sat there on that chair going, "You've bled with Wallace, now bleed with me." And I was like, oh, even the journalists and their voices are going, oh, I don't know how to feel about this. Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean, but I think... Look, I mean, we're going to chew over Nuno, the appointment of him later, right? But I do think it's just because, obviously, it's such a difficult pair of shoes to fill, and everyone spoke about that. But football, I was thinking about this today, football between the fans and the players is a bundle of moments. A last-minute goal against Bristol, a penalty save from Samba, anything. It could be a final whistle or a playoff final. It's all built into moments that make us feel. Cooper has made me personally...
2-2 draw against Luton at home.
Shut up about the Luton game. Cooper has made me feel personally a bundle of incredible ecstatic moments over the course of the last 2 years that have filled an entire 26, 27 years of support in this team. So I've had more moments that he's given me in the last 2 years than I've had in my entire life supporting this team. That's what I'm grateful for, because not many managers can make you feel that stuff. And it does matter. And the community stuff does matter. And the people matter. And the fans matter. And the caring matters. And I just want to thank him. I know he's not listening, but if he is, or if someone's listening...
He's not.
Well, shut up!
You can thank him, but you... Who are you telling that to?
I'm telling you that I care about the fact that he's gone.
You're on a podcast where you've done nothing but express how much you think he should be in charge, which is what many of us agree with. You don't even need to sound here like you're on the precipice of speech.
I'm just upset that he's gone. I understand why he's gone. It's 1-13. I get that. I was just giving a little eulogy to him. Like a breakup, like a relationship. I still care about my ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the problem?
Well, you'd be... So if that was your ex-girlfriend and you spoke like that about her or to her or in any sort of way, you'd be hung out to dry for being a condescending...
Well, if that's how you feel, that's fine. I've said my piece. If you don't want to say anything... That's okay. Let's move on. You have some games for us to play.
I haven't got some games for us to play. I'm gutted, mate. It's all right. Cooper became... I have got... Yeah, blame game. Let's play the blame game. Lighten this up before we get our guest in.
Well, hang on. Let me... Sorry, can I just... I need to just caveat everything with somebody. Matt's been to his Christmas party. He's had a few drinks. It's very evident, right? I think it's very evident you've had a few drinks.
No, it's not.
It is. It's evident. You've had a few drinks. We have a guest coming in. Matt Davies from the Forest Focus podcast. Yeah. He is going to be our guest for this Christmas episode. We've gone on way too long before he's even come in, but... Matt, you want to play the blame game, and I don't know if it's worth it, if I'm honest with you. I think we should bring the guest in.
Yeah, it's not worth it. There's no blame. It's just really sad. No blame game. Let's go.
That's a fun, usually you fight me on those things. But okay. Do you want to just bring the guest in? Is that what we're doing?
Well, you don't. You won't play it because you'll be like, I don't think you're not getting. It's an opportunity to be talk nonsense. I don't even believe in what I say when I play the blame game.
Well, who do you want to blame? What? There's no game that's happened. You want to play the blame game. It usually comes after a game and you blame.
Oh, sorry. The blame game with regards to why Cooper got sacked.
Super.
I was going to say Super got cacked, yeah. But I meant Cooper got sacked.
Because there's too many elements surrounding it. It could be the fact that recruitment wasn't good enough. It could be.
Oh, me, but that's the point of the blame game. It's like, think of Timmy Mallett. It doesn't matter. Of course there are loads of elements. What I say doesn't actually mean anything. It's just an opportunity to pick out a point where you think it all started going wrong. Okay, here we go. Blame game. And this is nothing to do with this so-called dispute fallout. I'm just talking about Joe Worrall as a footballer in a game of football. The beginning of the downfall for Steve Cooper, I think, didn't begin any earlier in its current form before that capitulation against Adebayo in the Luton equaliser. I think that's where this began. And Joe Worrall came on. Can't come on and make that mistake. It was appalling. I recognise so little detail from games of football when I'm watching it as a fan and as an observer. And that was the beginning of the downfall. And Roy Keane agrees with me. Chris, your turn. Go. Blame game.
Here's the problem with what you just said.
Okay, so you're just pausing the actual feature and you have to start it again.
No, because Matt, you're picking a specific moment that you think was the...
This isn't the respond forum. This is the blame game. You don't have to come back to anything.
It's just ridiculous, the hypocrisy that you present when
Vent,
you're
Chris.
In that same Luton game next to me defending Joe Worrall from the stands after the game, and now you're coming back and saying, well, he was at fault for that game. Guess who made the substitute? Cooper made the substitute. Are we to blame Cooper for the substitute? We did on that day.
If you like, this is where you get the chance to do it.
The recruitment wasn't good enough. The big signings didn't really work out, right?
Ooh.
What? Shut up for a second and let me speak. I let you ramble on
there
forever and you're drunkard. Voice.
Give me a tangible, visible moment that you could put your finger on. Give me your blame game guy. Something you saw this season that triggered the dismissal of Cooper.
I'm not blaming anyone. You could play the blame game on your own, staring into a mirror in an elevator, going up to the top floor. I couldn't give a shit. We're moving on. We need to bring the guest in. We've wasted enough time.
Okay. We have. You can go and turn on to your Forest Focus persona where you're really well-mannered. And
Sorry, what does that mean? What does that mean?
Nothing. You just ask Matt. Let's ask Matt, because you are like Jekyll and Hyde. It's great. Anyone listening? Everyone is...
So who, when am I Jekyll and when am I Hyde?
I don't know which is which. Was it Mr. Jekyll and Dr. Hyde? No, I don't know, Chris. I don't know. You're the maniac with me.
Okay, right. Well, we better let that go there and bring in the guest. Welcome to Matt Davies from Forest Focus, this is his second showing on the Forest All Over podcast. Matt Davies, how are you doing?
Good. I was saying to you before we started recording, as you and I don't know if you mentioned FPL on here, but you and I are FPL obsessives, or I certainly am. So I was watching Palace v Brighton, desperately regretting not picking Mark Gahey, and I know you did. So I felt good when the Brighton scored and bad for you.
Oh, no, yeah. I was a bit gutted myself, to be honest. But I was also kind of feeling happy that the Crystal Palace were doing well. Because in my head, I'm thinking, well, Cooper's going to Palace. Now he might not go. Then I don't have to feel bad about it. Dean Henderson is doing okay. Do you know what I mean? I was kind of having all these weird feelings about it.
It's so funny how different Matt Davies' feeling on FPL is with a personal relationship to you, Chris, compared to mine. It's polarising. I literally only play that game, Matt, to celebrate Chris's losses.
He has messaged me occasionally saying, oh, Matt's done this. And I'm like, God, this guy's a maverick. But now I realise you just give it 5 minutes of attention just to wind Chris up.
Yeah. Well, I just love it when I text him when, like, he's got this complex about Man United because he hates them so much. So he tries to win on them in any other way, whether it's betting money, FPL. He bets for the things he hates to give himself this weird, like, yeah, well, I'm fine. I still win sort of thing. And I love it every time Fernandes gets nothing because he keeps him in his side because he hates him so much.
Well, I haven't got Fernandes anymore, to be honest.
And I know it's because he's trying to save himself from... I don't know, a burst blood vessel or something.
Well, you're a Forest fan of all, Matt. You should understand that. Like, that's all we ever do, save ourselves. Speaking of which, this week has been a bit of an eventful week for... I mean, we haven't done a podcast since Cooper got sacked, since we lost to Spurs, since Nuno has come in. For you, obviously, you've done a lot this week.
Like, this is our first go at talking since it happened. And I watch all of your stuff and because it's brilliant and I love it. But, God, I can't believe you're here. You must be sick to death of talking about Cooper's sacking. It must feel like the oldest news in the world to you.
It's a bit weird, like, because I'm so invested in it now in terms of, like, the job and trying to do a good job covering it. I didn't really take stock of it until... was it last night or yesterday afternoon? That Simpsons and FFC video went on Twitter, and I watched that, and it reminds you of like the emotion of the Cooper era and stuff. And I watched a couple of more videos today. I saw Greg Mitchell posted one on YouTube amongst his tears and all that kind of stuff. And you don't really, you take a step back and realize like how mad it was the 2 years. It's only really the last couple of months it's gone wrong. Even last season when we were doing badly, there were periods that were great. So yeah, kind of it'll sink in eventually how good it was because of how bad it was the 23 years before.
Well, yeah, on that, I had a chance to reflect a lot in and amongst all the content coming out, the radio, the everything being talked about. And what occurred to me before coming on and talking to you tonight was it's kind of become our identity. Like, it's based on that 20-odd years or whatever of miserable. I was trying to work out why we've got this slightly unique... I mean, it was unique so many times in Steve Cooper's words, the situation he had at Forest. But this is a unique breakup. And it's been discussed a lot about how managers lose their jobs normally through a majority of a fan base wanting that to happen. This is so unique in that everyone's heads and hearts are in different places. And I've come to the realisation our new identity really... Steve Cooper was the heart of that and was a big part of... just how that felt to be a Forest fan. I've forgotten how it feels to support Forest under... I haven't forgotten, but you know what I mean? In the old way, the championship way. I feel like a new football fan. And that feels like we've been wrong-footed somehow.
Yeah, it felt like a different football club, as in different to the others for a while with Cooper, with that connection. And we are a different football club, even in the way we do things. Like, no other club signs all these players when we went up and signed 22 players in a window and... all that kind of, there's been a circle of chaos around the club. You can even go back to the Doughty years, but certainly the Fawaz years from 2012 onwards. Forest haven't been a normal football club. And even under Cooper, they weren't, but there was the bonds that made them stand out. The atmosphere in the City Ground last season was like second to none. And I thought we would regress a little bit this season, but now I think we've really regressed in terms of the atmosphere, and a new manager comes in. And I think he'll probably discuss this. I think he'll be all right. And I think he'll forge a bond with the supporters because Wolves fans loved him. But I don't think it will be like it was with Cooper. Like, he did get it. And he was a master politician as well to go with it.
We just before we came on, we had a film reference to the end of Braveheart when Robert the Bruce...
I can't watch the end of Braveheart more than once, but yeah.
You've not watched Braveheart more than once?
No, he has. He can't watch it more than once, is what he's saying.
Yeah.
Oh, he can't watch it. But do you remember the end scene where Robert the Bruce is trying to...
Hold on a sec. You might have to edit this out. You might not. Come in.
No, it's fine.
You say hello to Chris and Matt.
Hi. Hi.
Hello, mate.
Hey, how are you?
You're supposed to be asleep. They can't hear you. He said, how are you?
I'm good.
You're good. Can you go back to bed and I'll come see you in a bit? Okay. Good boy. Close the door. Goodbye. Sorry, Thomas, age 7, who's supposed to be asleep, and I thought was asleep.
No, it's all right.
Forest fan?
Not massively. Not a massive football fan. Likes playing in the garden. Doesn't have, like people of any generation now, doesn't have the attention span for 90 minutes to watch a whole game, but likes kicking a ball in the garden and likes seeing goals on my phone. But that's about it.
First of all, we don't have to cut that out if you don't want it. That was really nice. But what I suppose, Matt, you were saying about to Robert the Bruce and Braveheart, and what Matt was saying was Nuno coming in and giving the sort of the press conference that he gave was similar to the movie in that he's now having to take over from someone that everyone loved so much and went to war with and went into battle with. And it seems like it's going to be a really tough ask to get the fans on board in a way.
Matt, what do you think the Forest fans are going to sing on Saturday?
We'll go back to the old songs, won't we? Well, some of the old songs aren't really fitting for the time anymore. But yeah, we won't have any. I mean, I really hope we don't have any Steve Cooper songs because I think that would just undermine.
I'm going on the assumption we don't sing Steve Cooper songs. I think that would be really, really silly. Yeah. I just was sort of joking about every time I've been in recent, and I don't mean to, I love our chants and I love being a part of it. But my God, sometimes I'm like, we cannot think of anything else other than the sort of two or three Stevie Cooper ones. And my thought is it's going to be silent this week because no one's going to know what to sing.
No, I went to Wolves Away and every chant was a Cooper chant. So yeah, I mean, you have to get Greg back on here, but Greg will have a repertoire. I'm not a massive chanter at games, I must admit. I'm far too self-conscious for that. And we went out last night and Emily was asking, what's your karaoke song? I was like, absolutely not. No singing,
Stevie,
no dancing.
Stevie Cooper. Matt, have you ever secretly had that voice in your head, though? Because I agree with you. I'm quite confident normally in conversation. I try and protest that I'm confident in conversation whilst doing a podcast that I'm actually not confident at. But my point is, in life I am. But in football grounds, I'm like, I don't dare. And I would love to start a chant. I think I might have tried once or twice and been so mortified by the lack of...
I think you've got haven't you? I mean, at Wolves, there was two people next to me who started all loads of chants and they'd had beers. But it's a bit weird doing this. And, you know, I can see how many people are watching normally. And know how many people watch and listen. It doesn't faze me at all. And doing live shows doesn't faze me now, really, massively. But if you ask me to start a chant in a football ground, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or even if someone walks up to you and says, "You Reds" in the street, I even find that a bit strange. I was like, so self-conscious, but no.
It's worse now with the success of Forest Focus as well. Normally I'd like to set that challenge and be like, oh, how can we be great? I want you to start a chant one day and get one of your fellow commentators or people on the show to try and let us all know when you do it, because that would be amazing. That would be really cool.
We were out last night with Lewis McGugan came, which was great. And we were in the pub and someone came up and said, "Can I have a photo?" Brilliant. I thought they meant for Lewis, but they went for me and Lewis. And they said, "Oh, I love the podcast. You're total amateurs," he said. It was meant to be a compliment. And he said, "It's so rough around the edges. I think that's the best part of it." So
it is, mate. It's lovely. And it's addictive, man. I have to look every day and I can't miss it. And I hope everyone else is the same. You've got really... you're a professional journalist, right? Have I?
Yeah, written, nothing like this. I was trained in written press and had, you know, stumbled into this certainly and kind of running with it now. Yeah, doing it every day is a bit weird. I did wonder, will people want to see stuff every day? But they do seem to. So that's encouraging.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you've got great guests, and we had Greg Mitchell on here a few episodes ago, and one of the things we wanted to ask him, we talked mainly about Forza Garibaldi, to be honest, which is why we were chatting to him, because he started that. But we did ask him what it was like to be surrounded by all your guys, everyone and girls, everyone that's on it. But I guess I mean the footballers and the ex-pros and stuff. It's because all your guests are really awesome. It wouldn't be the same without any of them. But it's just super cool that you've got the likes of Lewis McGugan on there. Every time I'm watching it, I'm like, Lewis, if I was there, I mean, I would just embarrass myself because I'm like his biggest fan in the world and have been all my life. But I was like, he is like, in my head, the best midfielder in the world just for the magic in his boots era. Do you know what I mean? And I really hope he knows that.
Oh, I think it's great. Like, I mean, Prutz in particular, you can absolutely lay into him and say anything you want to him and he doesn't care. And Lewis is the same, increasingly so. I think he's like really relaxed into it and he's brilliant. Like the amount of times you get people in the comments saying, oh, Lewis made some really good points. And he does make points you don't think of and change your opinion. Like on Monday, he's saying about, oh, we should be playing Mangala 20 yards further forwards and stuff like that. And then he's super down to earth. He was telling some funny stories last night that I couldn't repeat on here about the Billy Davis years and stuff that. But not grandstanding in a, you know, oh, look at me. Just in a chilled out way that was related to the conversation.
Across, that comes across. And I reckon the more he presumably goes into doing, I don't know anything about the guy or what his plan is, if he just works on your channel, but there feels like if the world and society could let someone like Lewis not worry about trying to say the right thing or sound the right way, because he says it makes amazing points and he's got real heart and soul to everything he says, even on some sort of nonchalant things within his time at Forest or whatever. You can tell that sometimes I feel, I don't know, I might be wrong actually, it's just how occasionally when I listen to him I go, I wish he could just let go and not worry. Yeah, sorry.
No, I say he's perfect for these long-form podcasts. Like, you couldn't put him on TalkSport because they'll want something explosive in 60 seconds that can be clipped up, and that's not what he really does. And, you know, none of the others do, I don't think. Gary's brilliant. He's really funny. I know there's Birtle's bingo with, played centre half for Grimsby and Brian Clough would say and stuff like that, but he's like the nicest guy in the world. And, they all are really. So, it becomes a bit of a family because you put yourself out there like you chaps do as well. You put yourself out there to be shot down doing this. So, together.
Yeah, and obviously, I don't know how much you can talk about this, but it's obviously been a turbulent few weeks because you've done the branding rechange or rebrand, so to speak. It's the same brand, but it's a different name. I mean, it's been daunting for you. I know I think I've kind of spoke to you a little bit about it, but it's been daunting for you kind of going all in on the podcast, so to speak. I know if we get relegated, that might be a little worrying. But have you thought about that at all or not too much?
Oh, massively. It's really worrying if we get relegated. Yeah, I came in.
You'll be fine.
I hope so. Yeah, I think we will. Yeah, I came in at the. In a way, it's a really good time to come in for like what I do with Cooper going, as bad as it, as disappointing as it is. So it creates a lot of interest. But yeah, it's really stressful. And it was really stressful setting it up. Obviously, Garibaldi had gone really well. And good luck to the people doing it now, Max and Sarah. But, you go out on your own and you think, is anyone going to follow us? Is anyone going to know where we are? And luckily, loads of people have found us straight away and I've expanded the rota a little bit, to Mark Southerns, who's really good. And obviously, Chris, yourself, joining us a few times. And you'll be there on Saturday, hopefully. Gosh,
yeah. His new name is Jekyll and Hyde, Matt. Jekyll and Hyde.
So, because he's two different personalities on each podcast, is it?
Yeah. No,
Matt reckons I'm much calmer on your podcast when I'm on. I've only been on a couple of times, but when I've been on.
Well, I heard the post Fulham one that you did where you absolutely went off the deep end, which was really funny. You were so angry. And then I think you come on ours. Which one have you done? Oh, you've done the Wolves one. And you were really upset.
Came on the next morning. Hi, here's it going. You're right. But no, it's different. I've known Chris. We know each other on. Like, you can't talk about Lewis McGugan's stories in the pub last night. I've known Chris for a long time. And we're very close, basically.
Well, we live together and everything.
There's some pretty bad stories, but yeah.
Yeah, I hate the word banter. That's a terrible. The bond and camaraderie.
The rapport, I suppose, yeah.
Yeah, where you give each other hell, but you can tell it's from a. A place of love, and
neither wants to listen to the other.
No, I think it's great. You made one brilliant point, Matt, and then you said, "Let's bring back John Joe Shelby," and I was like, "Oh,
it's all gone out the window." And that's usually what Matt does. He makes a good point. You think he's onto something, and then all of a sudden, he's talking about bringing back John Joe Shelby. Yeah,
and that could lead us into some talking now about what we have ahead of us. Do you not think? Like, how you see in the Instagrams from the club and stuff, they're like, oh, and already it's like Nuno Espirito Santo is letting Joe Worrell train.
It's crafted, isn't it? I love a media messaging thing, yeah.
And it's madness.
They had Joe, Scott McKenna, Morgan Gibbs-White in there. People are like, oh, is he going to pick Morgan? I mean, it will be interesting to see the team that he picks against Bournemouth, but... Yeah, Forest's media, any Premier League club's media operation is very intricate and choreographed, and Forest certainly getting into that. Yeah, it's going to be a mad few weeks and few months, I think, certainly.
It's exciting, but there's just going to be so much speculation about everything. There's been rumours swirling for the last few weeks and we don't really know anything. But everyone's like, Morgan Gibbs-White used to play under him. Like you said, will he start? Willie Bolly played under him. It doesn't really mean... too much, but I suppose what is important is, and I know Matt doesn't like me getting into analytical, but he's finished seventh back-to-back seasons with Wolves. You follow Wolves quite a bit. You've a lot of Wolves friends and family fans, is that right?
So
you
grew up that way. Yeah
so you reckon he's a solid choice?
I think so. I mean, yeah, I asked Wolves friends about him and they said the football was really good for 3 years, and then the fourth year it all just unraveled. COVID time and Jimenez got injured and they sold Jota and a few things went wrong, but he did really well with a tight-knit squad and a really strong spine to the team. If we can get him that, obviously they had Jean Moutinho and Ruben Neves, Rui Patricio in goal, Jimenez up front. Obviously we've got the holes in our team that need addressing. Like, can we find a goalkeeper either within or without? We're going to have to buy a striker. If he gets our midfield to click, we'll probably be fine. That three of Mangala, Sangare and Dominguez, get that going again. They're Premier League quality. So Yeah, it's going to be an interesting spell. I would have said this about Cooper as well. If we get the January transfer window right, I don't think we have to worry about relegation. If we get it wrong and we sign 10 more players and only ship out four or five, and you know they're queuing out the door for to get their dinner every day at the training ground, then I would worry, and not because of the manager. But yeah, I think we'll be fine. We're quite blessed. I'm sure you've said this on here. The quality of the promoted teams, with all due respect to them, isn't what we've seen in previous years. And next year it's going to be very different, assuming like Leicester and Leeds come back and maybe Southampton. So we already have to have one eye on that. We can't just crawl over the line.
We were talking about that even at the beginning of the season. We were like, gosh, we can say that we've got some three worst teams almost to start with in this league this year. But do you remember, Chris, we were saying, hang on, I hope we don't rest on that, because then we've got to still sort of be start again with Puka be coming back up next year. And bang on. We sort of thought that before.
For me, it's how quickly things change. And like what you were saying there, Matt. Yeah, that's how we felt at the start of the season. After Sheffield United winning that game, I felt like, you know what, we'll be all right. I think we'll go on. We'll win some games. We beat Chelsea away. But it's just, what's crazy is Everton have got a 10-point deduction only a few weeks ago. Now they're above us, and we're 17th. We're right above those three teams that we said were going to be there, and we're sort of the ones that they are trying to drag in to the mess. And I just, it doesn't feel great. We have a 5-point cushion, which is okay, but yeah, it's relegation this season would be, in my opinion, slightly unexpected, you know.
Yeah, if you go back to like the start of November, we're beating Villa, and then you're looking at the fixtures and thinking, oh, Brighton, West Ham, Fulham, Everton, we can win all four of those games. I'm not saying you will win all four of those games, but individually, each one of those games was winnable. And we, you know, we go to West Ham, and I know you thought we played well, Chris, and I agree. Like Sangare was probably had his best game on get on the ball, and then Dominguez started to fall apart there. But we were only losing games for our own mistakes. And, you know, obviously Cooper made mistakes against Luton and subs-wise. But for how it unravelled so quickly, I think that's the shock. Like, that Everton game was really poor. Dyche did a number on us. The players did a number on everyone at Fulham. And, you know, that then Cooper's reverting to having to pick the players he believes in at Wolves and Spurs. But that wasn't sustainable. And I think it was a bit of a heart v head thing, wasn't it? I think my head said, after Fulham, it's over and there's no way back, because you can't run with these players unless you give him January and into February and let him rebuild these players and sign new ones. And I don't think the owner was ever going to do that. So it felt inevitable. And I thought one good thing, it's not a good thing, but if it had dragged on and we got in relegation trouble and you saw how polarised Twitter was, and obviously Twitter's not a good representation of the fan base, but it was getting increasingly toxic. And you wouldn't want that on Cooper, that people start feeling his legacy's tarnished in some way. That wouldn't have been fair at all. So him going is never going to be a good thing, but him going with his legacy intact, that two-year body of work, you know, Nuno gets even 50%, 70% of that, then he's done a good job as well, I think.
It literally feels like it could have gotten more like Brexit did. Do you know what I mean?
We've reached soft Brexit, and we're getting very rapidly to hard no deal Brexit and full on panic mode. Yeah,
Cooper avoided walking out like Cameron did after that referendum, though, in sort of weird way.
We didn't have Theresa May tears when she couldn't forge a deal, certainly, and we don't have an oven ready any situation, fortunately, as well.
true.
Right. Well, enough of the political references for now. We'll move on to. I think let's talk a little bit. Do you have something to say, Matt?
The divide in the Forest fans could have gone towards like the divide in the UK and the.
Well, we got that. They understand. Yeah. That. Yeah okay. Yeah. You didn't need to repeat it, Matt.
That was quite a clear analogy. I didn't know.
I might cut that out.
No, leave it in. So, Bournemouth coming up this Saturday. We'll talk a little bit about the game, but mainly the game and sort of Nuno moving forward and what we need to expect from him. A lot of people told me he's very defensive. What do you think we're to expect? I know you spoke about this in your own podcast, but what are your thoughts? What are your feelings about it?
I don't think it's going to be terribly defensive. It depends how we're playing and the players he has at hand. It's going to be built on solid foundations. From reading up on him and speaking to people, if it's working well, it's going to be, you know, two ball-playing midfielders, wide players with pace, wing-backs who get forward, And then, you know, they have a sitting midfielder or two and then three at the back. And we will play good counter-attacking football, hopefully. It's probably what Cooper was hoping to work towards in some degree. And then I think we just lost our way a bit this summer, trying to be more than we were ready to be. But yeah, I'm kind of hopeful. I think Bournemouth's a really not the game you want first up. I wish it was Man United first, really. We were saying this today. Like, if you'd got Man United, that atmosphere would have been massive. I think people are going to walk through the turnstiles thinking, oh, it's Bournemouth, we should beat them. But when you look at the numbers of late and their form, I think it's going to be really tough. So there's an onus on that game. Newcastle's going to be, you don't write any game off, but Newcastle away is as tough as it comes in the Premier League. So then you're looking at the United game and thinking, can we get 4 points from these three games? And if we do, and we go into January with a bit of a break, then I'm really optimistic. Worst case scenario, we lose the three games and then you're going into Christmas and New Year thinking, oh, what's going on here? Now I'm worried again.
Yeah, well, any manager who comes in and loses their first three games, no matter who it's against, the pressure is going to be on. But for him to lose, if he was to lose even two out of three or all three, I think as soon as we hit that break in January, like you said, panic station starts. So I agree, the Bournemouth game is a dangerous one to go into, because even under Cooper, we would have expected it to be a winnable game at home. So there's going to be a lot of pressure on this game indeed. But do you have any score predictions for us for that game? Anything, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think what team are we going to lay out?
No one knows, Chris. But yeah, sorry, Matt.
So we do score predictions every podcast, Matt. Not Matt Davies, my Matt.
No, true. I was just like, wow, that's so broad. And you could like Google Matt's video channel and see.
Yeah, well, we had three different predictions today. Although I thought Mark Southern's one was close. Three at the back, same wing backs. I think Joe Warr will be on the bench, but not in the team. I think we have to change goalkeeper. I don't know if you've discussed that already. I just don't think you can stick with Turner. I know like Lekodimos has statistically had an absolute horror show in goal.
And he just doesn't look like a keeper, does he?
He does.
Well, he saved seven shots and let 12 goals in. That shouldn't happen. But I think he'll be all right. You're going to have to go with him or sign a goalie. And so, that kind of picks itself. Mangala, there's so few nailed players, aren't there? Which is obviously a massive issue. But Mangala's nailed. I think Ryan Yates might be struggling going forwards. Like I said, he likes players who'll put their foot on the ball in midfield. And Yates, I love him, but it's not his strong suit. Yeah. So he'd be interested to see what happens to him.
It's the identity I was talking about. Yates is a massive part of that same thing with Coote. Do you know what I mean? He became the Ryan Yates we now know. It's different to that split and dividing opinion Ryan Yates that went on loan and came back even under the... You know how he was known notoriously as being the player that was picked by every manager despite the fans sort of not knowing why. Do you remember that?
He was picked because he was the voice of the manager on the field as much as anything, and he would do what the manager said. But I think with you're kind of moving on, aren't you, and trying to be a better team. And I don't know. I think he's great for like games against the top six and away games and stuff like that. But maybe Bournemouth at home, where you're hoping to get a result, he might not be in. So maybe he's on the bench.
But what I mean is, do you think he can keep being a Premier League player? I guess is what I'm asking. I don't know. Under another manager. Has he really risen to that level? I guess
another football club was what I was suggesting. I don't know. Yeah. I think he's Premier League quality. But
oh right,
what do you mean? Oh right, but you're clueless.
Oh, no, because I don't. I'm honestly, Chris, I'm literally saying that because I thought that I was hoping for that answer. I don't know. I've always got it in my head that Ryan Yates is in because he's boy Forrest, he's boy Cooper. He's got that work ethic, but he's played for getting at people's heels. He's, do you know what I mean? So you sort of go,
but that's part of being in the Premier League as well. Right. There's lots of players who play for other clubs in the Premier League that play that role that you need, really. Win free kicks in the middle of the park, slow the game down, get in. Anyway, but sorry.
I'm honestly not even disputing. I welcome the answer. You know what I mean? I just, that's great. I'm sort of really happy for Ryan Yates that he still might stand a chance then, because if his attitude's amazing and he is of that quality, I guess I was paranoid that he'd sort of been allowed to play for Forest in the Premier League specifically by Cooper because of what we've all been through. I honestly was a bit like, oh, that's the end of Yates then, when I heard Cooper was gone. But
I think there's a value to him. Like, if you look at Spurs, he was the catalyst, that really strong spur in the game. Like, he infuriates people. You notice on Sky, like, Jamie Carragher always loves him because he wins free kicks, he gains free kicks, he manipulates referees better than any player I've seen. Like, he should get booked in almost every game, and he doesn't. The thing is, can he play regularly in our team in the Premier League? I don't know. Might he have to move to another team in that bottom six? I think maybe in time he will. Like, but I still think he has a role in the Premier League, and I hope it's at our club, but maybe in time he has to move on if we move, as we hope we will. But there's always room for those players in the dressing room, I would hope. Like, obviously something's happened with Joe Worrall and he doesn't seem like he's around it anymore. Scott McKenna. It creates a different dressing room environment. It's crazy to think, like, Wembley was 18 months ago, and Ryan Yates is the only player in the first team squad who's left from that. You wouldn't get that in other clubs.
Just to finish off the team there for Saturday, real quick chat about Gibbs-White, and then we'll go into what you think the game score is going to be and do some plugs. Morgan Gibbs-White, a lot of people online are suggesting that, oh, he'll be put back into his central role now and he'll be played where he's meant to be playing. But surely that means a complete reshuffle in strategy and formation. Do you think Nuno will do that?
Possibly. I mean, there's this thing that he doesn't like him, but, you know, Morgan Gibbs-White's 23. He last played for Nuno when he was, 19 or 20? So he was just a young talent there. So Nuno's going to see that there's a good player there. Maybe he plays him more centrally. Maybe he plays him more deeper. We just don't know. I don't think you can play him out wide because we just have seen that hasn't worked. So do you manipulate a system to get more out of Morgan and have him in behind? I think a striker is more likely than Elanga, because Elanga, you can see to me, he's not a striker. He's a wide player. He doesn't have, obviously, we talk about how offside he was so often. He doesn't seem to have those natural instincts to be a striker. So I think that's where the change will come, and it'll have a knock-on effect on Morgan. In terms of a prediction, I mean, I don't think we'll win, to be honest, but I don't think we'll lose.
That's as far as all over.
Are you going to the game? Are you going to the game?
No, because we're going, we're traveling for Christmas. So I'll be watching the game. I'll be traveling abroad to watch the game on an entirely legal stream. I'll watch it, and then I'll be doing a stream with Chris straight after. Yeah. So I actually think a draw is a 1-1 draw is a good point for us.
I think
without seeing the context of the game, but I take it now.
Yeah,
I think it's a good result as well, and I think it stabilizes the ship. But I did say that at Wolves, and of course we know what happened not long after. Okay, well, look, Matt Davies, thanks for coming on. It seems like we're cutting it short, but we have been on a long time. Just really quickly, do you want to give some plugs before we go? We've got 2 minutes left in the timer. Run through some plugs for, obviously, Forest Focus, which is the new version of your podcast that's been out forever, but now it's something the same, except not different. But anyway, go on.
The same, but more, I think. Google Forest Focus for YouTube, all the platforms, you know, iTunes, Spotify. I've put the RSS feed on any audio platform that seems to exist, so you'll find us there. And at Forest Focus Pod on Twitter, at Forest Focus Podcast on Instagram, I think. I'm sure that's right, yeah. And then Mondays, main podcast, Wednesday interview, Thursday match preview, Saturday post-match stream, and then a couple of other videos in between. And then after Christmas, we'll have like a subscription tier, and you can get an extra show and first access to live show tickets and all that stuff. And hopefully come and see us at live shows at the Trent Navigation as well. And hear Chris's words of wisdom after the Bournemouth game. No matter what happens, me and him will talk through it all.
And we can all see his Jekyll and Hyde. And I love it, by the way. It's actually brilliant. But the Jekyll and Hyde thing will be... I mean, the people listening to this will agree with me. I'm putting my money on that.
Okay, but with less than a minute to go, thanks, Matt Davies, for coming in. And it feels weird that you had to do those plugs, because everyone who listens to our podcast definitely watches yours, and more watch and listen to yours.
Well, we're big fans of your show. We've always talk about it and we love it. See you again, Matt. Merry Christmas.
Thanks, chaps. Thanks very much. I better go make sure my son's asleep still.
Thank you for coming on. Sorry about the chaos.
Bye-bye. See you soon. Perfect. See you again, Matt, at the game sometime.
Yep, sounds good. See you later.
Bye-bye.
I can't believe we had to rush Matt off, mate.
I know. But like, I still haven't paid for the Zoom thing. It gives us the 40 minutes or 35 minutes or whatever it is, because we already started it early and had a chat. And then that's it. It just kicks me out. And I had to do it. And sometimes it's good because it keeps it confined. But, you know, we rambled on and I felt bad. And, you know, but he was good. He was brilliant, wasn't he? It was great to have him on.
I do want to say, it was so, having Matt on reminded me of how, it was just great to have someone who can really talk concise sort of pro points. Do you know what I mean?
Whoa. So you're saying, but you're basically insinuating that I can't. Is that it?
Well, you actually can. You can very well on his show.
Okay, well, with that laugh, I know very well that that's what you meant. And with that, welcome to the Review Corner. Our first Review Corner comes from Mark in Australia, who actually gave a voice note earlier on. He mentioned that he went back to episode one of this podcast, all right, and said that I'd mentioned that Ivan Tony wasn't necessarily worth 5 million. This is when he was at Peterborough, by the way. So he dug that out and he said, wow, Chris, that's unbelievable that you said that. That's really embarrassing for
me. That's amazing. Yeah. That's excellent.
I know. The next Review Corner, two of my mates are in a WhatsApp group with me, Man United fans. They keep saying that I'm the Garfunkel and you're the Paul Simon. And they've actually changed the icon of the WhatsApp group to a picture of you. And all they ever say is Matt on the podcast? Because if he's not, I don't want to listen anymore. Like, it's consistent, winding me up. God. And they're Man U fans as well, and I hate it.
I understand. I just understand why, though. Like, it makes complete sense. It's not even to do with me being listened to. It's just because I've barely spoken to any of them. I've spoken to a couple of your mates. But I'm sure there's more in the group that I've not met. And I know that I'm on the same page as even people I don't even know about what's going on there.
Yeah, well, one of them said it's like Mr. Miyagi and Daniel-san. And you're Matt's the master and you're the apprentice. And they've just really kind of got hold of that with me. So it's really annoyed me. But anyway, that's the end of the Review Corner. We'll leave the Christmas one at that. There was probably a load more, but I'm sorry. They all got caught up and mixed up and we kind of have to go. So Matt, do you want to give a quick Bournemouth prediction? You're going to the game, aren't you?
I'm going to the game. And as I was trying to say to you with Matt Davies a minute ago, about predicting and how you think it's going to go. I mean, the caveat is obviously that I'm pretty sad. I keep saying that I'm really excited, but we have to be. And I'm really nervous it's going to fall flat on its face and be really, whether it's going to be mundane, whether it's going to be a slow start, whether it's going to be risky. Wouldn't it be great if just something, I don't know. Will we feel guilty if Marinakis is proven right? Will you feel guilty?
Of course we'll feel guilty, but it's only one game and we have to see the rest of the season overall. But it is a key game. And if, as Matt Davies rightly said, he doesn't really like the fact that it's against Bournemouth because it puts the pressure on, because it's a game that we could win. typical Forest fans feeling the pressure about a game that we could win. I predict we're going to win 2-1. We'll be one all for most of the game. We'll probably accept the draw and then we'll get a late winner and it'll hopefully start a new chapter. You, Matt?
I want to believe that we're going to go and win. How annoyed with the players are fans going to be if they show up and we batter them 3-0 and it's like an outstanding game from Sangare and Dominguez and Alanga's onside the whole time.
I know what you mean. It'd be like, hang on, they didn't do this for Cooper. I know what you mean. But
saying they'll do that, but will people feel that? And I'm sure they will, I guess.
I don't know. Can you predict a score? Did you already predict yet or not?
I think we'll win 1-0. I think Forest will win 1-0 and the crowd won't know how to take it. It'll be a really weird thing to celebrate. And yeah, we love our team doing well, but I still think there'll be nuance to that.
Okay.
Awesome.
Okay, well, that's a typical Forest fan answer if I've ever heard it. We're going to win 1-0, but it might be a bit weird and horrible. Matt, do you want to say Merry Christmas, even though it's a bit of a difficult Christmas without Cooper?
Yes, Christmas without the Coopers, everyone. Merry Christmas. Thanks for joining us during 2023. We will continue to do this podcast through 2024.
Thank Matt Davies. Thank Matt Davies.
I'm just about to thank the wonderful Matt Davies, and good luck to the show. I will continue to be a follower and a fan as he goes. It was really exciting to have the host, Matt Davies, and founder of Forest Focus, previous host of Garibaldi Red, joining us for our Christmas office party at Forest All Over. Bye!
Bye, everyone. Sorry if Matt was a bit drunk and slurring his words because he was at a Christmas party himself prior to this, drinking a few beers, thinks he can take more than 3 or 4. Thanks a million.
I'm not drunk.
Follow us at Forest All Over on Instagram or at NFFC All Over on Twitter. Rate us, like us, subscribe. go to farsalover.com, you know, farsaloverworld.com. Do whatever you have to do to follow us. Bye-bye.
Podcast Network.